Your anointing has not left you. There are people in this room that think, you know, I think I honestly had it, but I don't know where it has gone. Some of you are absolutely convinced it has moved to someone else at your church. I mean, that used to be me. And I mean, it's like moved off of my head and it's moved on to them. I want you to know it has not moved off of you. It has not shifted. It is not passed on to someone else. They have their anointing and you have your anointing. Listen, if you and I would learn to operate in our calling through the power of and authorization and accompaniment of God in what He has called us to do, we would never be jealous of somebody else's anointing. The only reason we are ever jealous of someone else's anointing is when we are not walking in the anointing. Every time, you can take that one to the bank. Somebody needs to know that your anointing has not diminished with age. Aaron was older than you'll ever live to be. Anybody? The Holy Spirit isn't subject to age. He is eternal. What happens is when you go, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, it's gone. No, this is what happens. We tend to start getting lazy with it, and we want the outpouring more than the infilling. Is anybody getting that with me? We want the pour your Spirit over me. Pour your Spirit over me. Pour your Spirit over me. Well, we don't want the infilling. We just want the outpouring because we're all about the show. Anybody? Now, I don't know. I can't really go back in this up with you. I'm just going to tell you what I feel, what He pressed upon my heart. I thought this for years. I wish I had something to pour this into. I want you to picture it with me. What I see when you see someone, you go, there's truly the anointing of God, that it is, it seems visible to you. To me, what that's like is if God started pouring this oil, that to the degree that I'm filled up with the Holy Spirit, till it starts just teeming over and the cup overflows, that in the overflow, that's what you can see. Can anybody go there with me? The overflow of the Spirit is what you can see. But if I just want, I don't care a thing about being filled with the Spirit. I just want it to be on me, not in me. I just want it to be on me. That's the flesh. That's counterfeit. That's fake. And listen, fake can look real. Oh, fake can look real. Listen, you don't go walking up with, like, get out a deck of cards and take the Queen of Hearts and go try to pay for your Starbucks with your Queen of Hearts. Why? Because she'll know that's not a dollar bill. That's not a counterfeit. It's not a counterfeit. It's just a substitute. A counterfeit looks like the real thing. It's a whole lot of people that have got a whole lot of fire that don't have any heat. We want the real thing. You've got a real life anointing on you. Operate in it. You don't need a counterfeit. This is the real thing here. This is the real thing. Okay, here is the question on the table and everything that has driven me about this lesson today. I thought, because I sat in my room yesterday. I want you to turn back to Exodus 28 and 29. I'm going to try to get over wanting to cry because I'm going to want to cry right now. It's silly. Y'all are going to wonder why in the world I want to cry about it, because it was so powerful and so beautiful, it about killed me. I mean, I sat at my desk yesterday in the hotel room and I sobbed. I thought, who are you? Who comes up with this stuff? Who comes up with this? It's just fascinating and it's just brilliant. And I thought to myself, how would your life change if you really knew what your anointing means? How would your life change if you knew that something dramatic has happened to you? Something dramatic, you just couldn't see it with your eyes. How would it change for you today, the way you operate, your security, your confidence in what God has called you to be and where He has sent you? How would it change if you thought it was real? If you thought something significant had happened, how would it change you if you had been visibly anointed with oil? Because this anointing comes when we're born again in Christ. Listen, I'm going to get four women. The reason why I'm going to do it is because in Exodus 29, when they go to anoint the priests, there is the great high priest, and that is Aaron. And who that is to us in the New Testament, according to the book of Hebrews, our great high priest is Christ. But the sons of Aaron, that is who will represent us. There were four of them. So I'm going to be asking for four volunteers. What we're going to see over the next couple of minutes is what happened when they were anointing the priests for the priesthood to serve. Because you and I are a royal priesthood. Everybody say we are a royal priesthood. Okay, so in chapter 28, would you look at it? Because that's going to be where all the preparations are, where they get prepared for it. When we get to 29 is when they're actually told how to do it. So 28 is them getting ready for it. 29, they're long, long chapters. 29 is them actually doing it. Let me tell you how this went. Okay, when they first brought forth Aaron and his sons, they had to bring them right there to the front of the tabernacle. They stood right there in front of the whole congregation, just like you guys are right now. And their instructions, this whole process to set them apart for their priesthood took a solid week. It took 7 days. The reason why that's important for you to know is because seven is the number of completion or perfection in the Word of God. So you want to see that it went on and on. What happens to us in a moment, because Christ is the perfect one and has perfectly met all of the qualifications for us to be anointed, it happens to us in a moment. But they went on for 7 solid days getting ready for this thing. And here's how it all begins. So I'm looking in chapter 29. First of all five of them, so Aaron and then the four sons, because remember, Aaron wasn't Christ. He was not the perfect one. Aaron and all four of his sons had to be washed with water. I mean, wash. So you'd have been, all four of you would have gone forward, have to be cleansed. Don't think anything. Don't touch anything. You have to be clean. Second, in verses 5 and 6, they were dressed. First, Aaron was dressed. And I want you to know what he had on, because it is a beautiful, spectacular thing. I brought you a picture. Listen, we don't know for sure, but this would be an approximation of what's described in 28. Look on the screen at how beautiful it is. So if Aaron were here, he would be the one that they would be dressing with all this gorgeous color, and the breast piece, which would have a stone in different colors representing the 12 tribes of Israel, the ephod, which is that portion that looks like an apron over it, the robe, which you would see down below it, that in this picture is in blue. Do you see on it toward the bottom the tassels? They had tiny little bells on them, not just tassels, because what he had to do was the scariest thing, because once a year he's going to go behind that veil into the Holy of Holies, and so they had to still hear those little bells ringing, because if those bells stopped for long, that man was dead. Dead. Because something of him would have been unholy. And I mean, it had killed him dead, Doris. Killed him dead. And so, all the bells there. But one of the most fascinating things was on Aaron's head was a turban. Now, all of these sons are going to have caps on them. We'll get to that in just a moment. But he had a turban on him. I want you to know something, because this is so beautiful. Exodus 28:2 says that they wore holy garments for their glory and beauty. And it doesn't just say it about Aaron. Kendra, it says it about y'all. Nicole, it says it about you, that when we're making this, this that is literal in the Old Testament to us, understand with me that when you came to Christ, you were clothed, you were robed in salvation, and it is for your glory and beauty, that there is a beauty on you because you are in Jesus. Do you see a single woman up here that you do not think is beautiful? I mean, come on now. And I just imagine if Kendra enters into this, and I mean, just the beauty that we'd be clothed with it. It's not about our mascara and our highlights, but I love mascara and highlights. But this is about, I mean, a divine dressing. And so this turban was just absolutely fascinating. Listen, do you know, according to Exodus chapter 28, listen, girls, God literally had to give a spirit of skill to those who were going to be making these garments. They couldn't even make them in the flesh. And I mean in their best flesh. I mean in their noble flesh, really wanting to do their very best. No. They had to have the Spirit of God on them to even sew the fabrics, to put them together, to stick them on these priests.
Life is full of unknowns. You can think you're going in the right direction and suddenly find yourself surrounded by challenges, by confusion and darkness. But then you stop, look around, and ask yourself, how did I get here? What if we opened up the scriptures to find answers? The Apostle Paul encountered various trials, and yet his fervor could not be starved. He was unstoppable in love, faith, and good works. Even in a steady flow of frustration, conflict, and opposition. Come along with Melissa and me in this 4-week, 5-session study of the book of Philippians, where we'll see Paul's invitation to join him in the joy-filled, single-minded pursuit of Jesus. By the power of the same Holy Spirit who took the gospel to Europe by the way of Philippi, discover what Paul magnificently called the surpassing value of knowing Christ. The days we're living in call for increased faith. We've seen countries fall, people groups oppressed, individuals going hungry, and Christians being persecuted. As a Christ follower, I feel an urgency to pray specifically for these brothers and sisters in the faith. While we may not be able to go to these specific places spread across our globe, the voice of the martyrs is going and advancing the gospel at any cost. Right now, they're on the ground ministering to people in closed countries by responding to persecution, by providing Bibles and resources for frontline workers. Would you consider partnering with the Voice of the Martyrs to pray for our persecuted Christian family? Visit their website and sign up to commit to pray for a frontline worker. When you commit, you'll also receive a subscription to their monthly magazine along with a bonus copy of the book Hearts of Fire. Please join me today. We believe that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. That Jesus Christ came in the flesh to seek and to save the lost. And we have come to testify that this Jesus still transforms lives, still sets captives free, heals the brokenhearted, defends the oppressed, revives the souls of the weary, and renews our anxious minds. You and I have been called to freedom. In a world inundated with bad news, there's good news.
Discover hope and joy in the scriptures. Come and find community.
And worship the King.
Experience generations of women opening the Word of God. Come with us to Living Proof Live. Join us in a city near you.
What happens next is the turban, and this would be on the high priest. It was the most conspicuous feature of it, because here was the coolest thing, and I'm going to act this out right here as if she is Aaron right now. So here's the turban. I would set it on your beautiful head. Right across the front would be a gold plate that says, Holy to the Lord. Everywhere girlfriend, because she's guy friend in that, but everywhere girlfriend would have gone, I mean, anybody that talked to her would be saying, Holy to the Lord. I mean, I think we should tattoo that on our daughter's foreheads. Just right here. Every date they ever gone on, if he says, I just wanted to ask you if you would do a particular thing, she'd go, what, dear? And it would have Holy to the Lord right on her forehead. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about set apart. But here's what happened. Here, I am utterly convinced that we have this seal on our heads. Utterly convinced. I mean, I might be totally missing this thing, but I believe that in the spiritual realm where our eyes cannot see, that the angels, every demon out there knows who is in Christ and who is not. There's not a demon out there confused about which one of you are in Christ and which one are not, because we who are in Christ bear a mark. We are anointed, but we are sealed. Do you remember 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21? We are sealed. And it says, if you look in the NIV, in verse 36 of chapter 28 of Exodus, make a plate of pure gold and engrave it as on a seal, holy to the Lord. We are sealed. Then Revelation 22, verse 4 says that when we're standing there in the glory of God and in the light of His presence, that literally we will be able to see that His name is on our foreheads. His name is on us. We are marked with him. And I believe we are marked with this seal right here, that every time the enemy harasses us, he's having to look straight in the face of holy to the Lord right here. We are sealed. Listen, I will say this to Kendra. This doesn't have anything to do with you. It just has to do with being a young woman growing up in this culture. Listen, one reason why life in Christ can seem unpopular to folk out there is because it seems like that all there is, we get that picture that religious life is all about what we cannot do, that God is the God of N-O, no. If you want to, no. If it's fun, no. If it would really just be, if it would just build you up and make you laugh, absolutely not. But I want to make you a promise. What he has set you free for is your yes. Yes to what you were put on the planet to do before the foundation of the world. Yes to your calling. Yes to your very purpose for living. Yes, yes, yes to you being having a satisfied soul. Yes, yes, yes to your dignity and honor. Anything, I want all of you young women, all of you older women to listen carefully to what I'm saying. Every single one of you. Anything, once you are in Christ, that Christ says no to is because it is not worthy of you. Sleeping around with man after man is not worthy of you. Defiling your body with all manner of substance abuse and excess is not worthy of you. Because you have been clothed with the beauty and glory of Christ. Anything that's a no, it's not because God's trying to withhold something from you. It's not worthy of you. Look at one another and say, if he says no, it's because it's not worthy of you. If there's a guy he says no to, forgive me, I'm not going to say the rest of that. I would say the same thing to a guy. If he's saying no, some reason, somehow in there, no. No, no. All right, so next, third would be the anointing oil poured on Aaron's head, but then all four of theirs. Later in Exodus 30, 30 through 32, it says, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall, Kendra, I can't wait for you to hear this. Nicole, you may not know this. I just can't wait for y'all to know this. It shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person. Doris, the Holy Spirit did not get poured on you because you were ordinary. Rebecca, the Holy Spirit did not get poured on you because there's anything ordinary about you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Every single one of you who are in Christ, there ain't nothing ordinary about you. Look at one another and say, there is nothing ordinary about you. Nothing ordinary about you. It is holy and it shall be holy to you. What I want you to understand is that it would be this action right here. Boom. Kendra, I'm not going to do that to you.
You could if you wanted to.
Okay. I would take it too. Just be like, pour it on. They would be like this, pouring on that head. But what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to take this. Just as I'm just doing this symbolically of this oil, and it would be perfumed. It would have the spices in it. And I mean, they'd just be pouring it on the head. Now, this happens when someone receives Christ, when someone is born again in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell upon them. And I mean, it'd just be like the anointing. I want you to understand, this happened to you. If you're in Jesus, when you're thinking there's not a whole lot to your anointing, when it says you're anointed, you're just going, I'm anointed. No, you're anointed. You're anointed like Doris. You are anointed. You are anointed. I mean, just get that. Get that. There has been oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit has been poured on your sweet head. Then it talks about the tunics that y'all would be wearing, the four sons. And I wonder if this is part of, it's also very, very much like the linen garments that are in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I have to wonder if we're dressed like the sons when we get to be born again in Christ. What they wore is they wore white linen robes like this, and then really, really colorful sashes right here. And then they wore this little cap right here. So they're all dressed. Then here is the really crazy part. Somebody stay with me that's brand new, because this is going to really freak you out. It's probably even going to gross you out. Here's what you would do next. I want you to all stretch forth. I want you to do your hand just like this, your right hand. All right, you would have your hand on an animal. You would feel that animal's life, that animal squirming, and then you would take that animal's life. This was in the ordination, and it didn't happen just one time. It happened several times. I want you to understand that they were to feel the life, take the life, and feel the death. I mean, this is like, whoa. I want somebody new to ask me right now, why? Why would God, and y'all can relax your hands. Why? But can you imagine? I mean, think about your, like, your dog or whatever. You're going,
I'm asking why.
I love this because Kendra's asking why. She said, I'm asking why. That's a good question. I want somebody to ask why. Because, listen, we just think like, God, you are gross. I mean, that is gross. Listen to me carefully. Animal sacrifice happened in the garden because of the fall of man. The fall of man. Because he had to cover them, cover their shame up. He had to cover their selves with animal skins. Is anybody getting this with me? So this became, because there had to be a substitute. Something had to die for something to live. Something had to die for something to live. That is why before God ever said, let there be light, he had already said, let there be the cross. That's why Revelation says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, because he looked at Jesus, basically would have said to him something like this, listen, the second I breathe a soul into this man's body, talking about Adam, you are as good as dead. Are you prepared for that? Because there's no turning back. Because they will fall, they will sin, and something will have to die so that they can live. And so over and over, one lamb after another, one ram after another, one over and 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 over. Only for us, that was Jesus. In our ordination service, there's no more animal sacrifice because there was one perfect Lamb of God. Here's the wild part. Here is the wild part is, do you realize? I mean, he gave his life. In other words, he was dead. Bloodshed, dead. He was alive and then he was dead. Bloodshed, dead. Do you realize with me that he laid on the altar as the Lamb of God and he got up and was raised from the dead to be the great high priest? It's so crazy because he's just filling all these roles. It's just the wildest thing you've ever seen. You're going to want to find this, and this is going to be in Exodus 29, 19 through 21. So they've killed the animal. There's the blood. They put blood on the horns of the altar, and then in this ordination service, what Moses does, he takes the blood and he's going to do this to all four sons and Aaron. Here's this. He is going to take the blood and he is going to put it on their earlobe, on their right earlobe, on their right thumb, and on their right big toe. You get that with me? So if I'm looking at one person, let me do it with Doris since I didn't get to her. So Doris would have a smear of blood on her right ear, a smear of blood on her right thumb, and a smear of blood on her, what they called, not the big toe, but the great toe. I love that. Just from now on, go, that's my great toe. That right there is a great toe. And so in doing that, here's what it meant. Here's what it signified. What set apart the Israelites, it was their Shema. I'm thinking of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What set Israel apart from the rest of the nations is that Israel had an ear to hear God. That's why we've got his word, the ability to hear, the ability to serve. They were going to be serving with their hands. So her hand was covered with the blood. Your ears covered with the blood. Your hands covered with the blood. And then where you walk, your toes, you cannot walk very far without your big toes. Not easily. You'd have to have some kind of prosthetic something or other, a prosthetic great toe, because you need something there, because what helps you walk forward, Doris, Rebecca, Nicole, Kendra, and you, is that you are covered by the blood. You are covered by the blood. Anybody? Anybody? Now, let me tell you something. Here's what happened when all of this was done, 7 days of this. Listen, Leviticus 9, 22 through 24, and you think no big deal happened when you were anointed by the Holy Spirit? Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. That's how dramatic it was. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And team, by all means, please come. You guys are dismissed. Would y'all thank them for what they've done for us? What a pleasure. Thank you. Listen, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 23. I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23, so that you can see proof of what this does for you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Listen, for some of you, the reason why you cannot get on with it and respond to the anointing that has been put upon you, the fact that you've been appointed, that you've been authorized, that you've been empowered, and that your God is with you, is because you're full of shame about something. You have such a guilty conscience, you don't know what to do. You've already repented. I need you to understand that you stand before the very cross of Christ, and the blood from that crown of thorns drips right off the tip ends of that and right onto you. You are cleansed by the blood of Christ. You are made clean in him. You are forgiven. I need somebody to celebrate that with me today. Somebody celebrate. Maybe you need to know that he is still God over your was, because he has no time restraints. And he is God of my is, the God of my was, and the God of everything that is to come. He's that corporately. He's that universally. But the challenge in the book of Revelation is that it could be going back and forth at any time between those time frames.
Give the gift of Philippians this Christmas season.